duty on your dial.
All aboard for Vox Pop. To the people, thanks to the makers of tonight, Vox Pop travels to Lowry Field, just heretofore untouched aspects of our Army Air Corps. And you camera fans, this broadcast will be of special interest to you. So here are your two Vox Poppers, Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in.
Yes, folks. This is Vox.
And this is Warren Hull.
And we always like to have soldiers and weapons around the outfit on Vox Pop because they have incredible stories to tell, as well as new plans on this from fighting in the air.
You said it, Fox. In front of our audience here in the huge auditorium, pilots, gunners, bombardiers, navigators, and some folks we've never had on Vox Pop, aerial photographers. Fox, who's first?
First, Warren, about our Vox Pop alarm clock. It's here at the microphone. That $10 bill which is pasted over its face. Well, let's see who's going to get it. The 12 Oakley questions. Folks, one of our many air Oscar Goodwin. Okay. Sergeant, what's your nickname? Is it like you didn't guess from your size, huh?
Well, my nickname is Shorty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be, and I would guess, too, that you're either a tail gunner or a ball turret gunner.
Well, you're right. I'm a ball turret.
Ball turret. Down there on it, huh? Mr. Shorty, Sergeant, when did you get into the service?
Oh, 1941.
41. Well, what were you doing before you got in?
Well, I was a welder.
Welder?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Worked for Post and Telegraph for a little while.
Oh, postal, huh?
Messenger boy.
Yeah? So, Shorty, you going home anytime soon?
Well, I hope to go home in January. That all depends on my CO.
Well, who is your CO?
Well, he's sitting right here. His name is Captain Passett.
Oh, good. He's here. Well, I thought maybe you had a twinkle in your eye when you said that. So, Shorty, where have you been during this war? What
oh,
country?
I've been in Africa and England.
Mm-hmm.
Alaska.
Still a turret gunner in a C-17, huh?
That's right, a flying fort.
I see. You getting the master planes yourself?
Yes, I shot down three of them.
Three for you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How about that bomber of yours? What's the name of it?
Well, we called it the Betty T, and there was a Betty E. Actually, pilots had the choice of the name.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have nothing to do with that.
Sure.
And they named it after their wife, Betty Tate, and Essie Tate.
One is Betty B and one is Betty E, just for the two pilots.
Right.
Well, that's good. So tell me, Sergeant, did you study maps, you fellows, all the crew members, before you take off on a mission?
Oh, yeah, always. We have photographs and laid out maps to show us exactly where to fly, and we can't miss with those maps.
You can't, huh? You map folks here, you know, here's a guy that's used them. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on. Did that plane of yours get shot up much?
Oh, yeah, a number of times. Some of the times I thought I wasn't coming back, too.
Yeah. That bad, huh?
Well, you know.
Yeah. How many missions, Shorty, does a fella have to take before he sort of gets rid of that little jump?
Well, before you can call it a real job, I guess you got to get used to it in 25 missions before I really got around to sort of liking a business.
Yeah? Say, do you remember that first Nazi you shot at, or one of the first few that you
had? Well, I remember one raid especially. That was over Tripoli.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember right, we flew over there 10,000 feet. The flak was very heavy that day.
Yeah.
And there was one Nazi that was sort of nervy, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He thought he was pretty good. Well, anyhow, he come over our stabilizer and come awful close. I really mean I could see that pilot. And he could see my traces, too. But I was so excited I couldn't hit him because laying down there underneath there, I didn't know what to do.
That was in your right in the beginning, huh?
Yeah.
After that, I bet they felt more in your traces, old boy. Well, Shorty, I wish you could talk a whole lot longer, but I've got to skip on here a little bit. Gee, you've got such interesting things. I guess you're not particularly anxious to go back after 53 missions, are you?
Hell yes. How can you win a war over here?
Atta boy, Shorty. Well, wouldn't you sort of like to take the Pacific this time?
No, I'd like to go back and finish off where I started. I'd like
right.
to get some of those Nazis. I mean, they're rough people. They think they are.
And I guess they got some of your buddies too, didn't you?
Yeah, they got quite a lot of them.
Shorty, with men like you, we can't miss. And just so you remember us tonight, old Bromo South Tower sponsor have got some things for you we hope you like. For a rabid ski fan, it's a pair of 6.5-foot skis, all metal poles, harness, boots, and a warm cap. And all this is from Max Cook's Sporting Goods store down on Glenarm Street. And for that furlough back home to New York, which we hope you'll get, Bromo Seltzer's got you a round-trip ticket. And here is a very interesting-looking package for that captain of yours. You can flip it to him sometime.
You bet I will.
And, Dave, what else have we got for Shorty, huh? Oh, I see. Shorty, wait a minute, fellas. Wait a minute. They tell me that you're quite a drummer. So we went around and got some drumsticks in the raw. A great big red rooster, and you can beat on your drums with those.
Okay, Shorty.
I think the mess sergeant's going to see them next. Say, and speaking of guests, folks, we just want to remind you that each man interviewed on Vox Pop, of course, gets a recording of his interview to take home and play for all the folks. Now, folks, on the chest of this young soldier standing by me are service ribbons galore, showing he's been places. The stars on them show that he's done things. He's an armorer gunner, now an instructor at Lowry Field, the kind of battle-wise veteran who's training our men before they go overseas. Don't let us throw you, boy. He's 22, this dark-haired, clean-cut veteran. By the way, how many missions have you been on, Horse?
123.
Yeah, you see? No wonder you have all those ribbons. Well, we'll let you fellows really beat your hands again. For Technical Sergeant from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Horst Handrow. Horst, where did all those missions take you?
Oh, they took me to Pearl Harbor, Gilbert Island, Midway, Wake, Guadalcanal, and New Guinea.
Well, you covered a lot of territory, didn't you? In what sort of plane?
I flew in a Fortress, B-17E.
And you like those old babies?
You bet. They're the best you got.
They, well, of course, I've heard some fellows think the 24s are all right, too. What's the job of an armorer gunner?
Well, he has two jobs. On the ground, he takes care of bombing equipment, gunnery equipment, turrets, photo equipment, and everything else.
Everything else?
Yes, pertaining to armament.
Oh, yes.
In the air, he's a gunner. He prepares the gunnery mission with ammunition and everything and fires the guns himself. And sometimes he even has to prepare a gun up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you work under difficulties at some of those advanced bases out there?
Yes, I did. The problem of supply was pretty hard at times. And so we patched our holes with old tin cans and put our ailerons together with baling wire. We got around tomato boxes, everything else. And some of the holes were patched with just adhesive tape or scotch tape.
Well, we've heard about the ingenuity of the American fellows. You certainly did a wonderful job out there of what you had to work with. Say, what are you instructing in here?
I'm instructing upper turrets and lower ferry balls.
I see. Well, how do you do it?
Oh, I more or less teach the students how to get in and out, which is a job at times. And how to do minor adjustments and so forth.
Well, that's merely the beginning of the gunnery training.
Yes, it is. It's just preliminary.
Well, you worked on the top and bowl turret out there in combat, did you?
I flew as a tail gunner and as a lower ball.
Well, the tail and the ball are sort of cramped quarters, aren't they?
Yes, they are. There isn't much room there for anybody.
You couldn't wear your parachutes in there, could you?
No, I couldn't. Well, many of the fellows didn't exactly care to bail out over Japanese territory anyway.
What?
Look, some of the things that they done to our boys is cause for just going down with the plane.
Oh, I see. Well, Horst, what happened when you saw your first Zero come up at you out there?
Oh, he was good looking, and I didn't even shoot at him. That's just the trouble.
What happened?
He had such beautiful colors of green and red. I seen that big rising sun that I was startled.
You were startled?
So I let him go.
I bet that didn't happen the second time.
Oh, no. Second time, he looked like he meant business.
Yes.
He came in from the rear, and it looked like he was going to crash into our ship. So we just poured it to him. And I was yelling over interphone, get ready to bail out. This bird means business back here. About that time, the cowling started flying away and the wing broke off and he fell off and went down.
Well, we're glad that happened the second time. How many zeros did you get, by the way?
I've been shredded with six.
That's good going, my friend. Well, we know that you've had your share of thrills and chills, but now the time has come for Groma Seltzer to thank you for being with us, of course. So we have for you, first, a sturdy, smart, club-style bag trimmed and bound in genuine elk. That is a beauty. And we also have a beautiful new Savage 22 target rifle. That's one of the best made. And so you won't have to waste any time on your first free day. There's a hunting license to go with it. And we have something to gladden the heart of any man, too. It's a beautiful tie. I got quite a few for Christmas this year, and I thought I'd like to give it to one of you fellows. Where is it, Dave? It's in beautiful, quiet... quiet tones of red, yellow, and green. Well, you can keep it until after the war, anyway, Horace.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much, and good luck and good hunting to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Warren, get Dave and Bob up here, and let's have a little music.
Oh, by the way, we're going to get Parks into this sometime to sing bass, aren't we?
Sure are.
Oh, stop, look, and listen. Our train is passing through, so stop, look, and listen. It's talking right to you.
And folks, you couldn't ask for better advice than that. Fight headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. You see, a common sick headache doesn't always mean just an ache in your head. It may be accompanied by jumpy nerves and upset stomach. And for three-way misery like that, you just naturally need three-way relief, which is exactly what you get when you take a Bromo Seltzer. Count them. One,
Bromo Seltzer gives quick relief from pounding head pain.
Two,
Bromo Seltzer quickly helps calm jumpy nerves.
Three,
Bromo Seltzer quickly helps settle upset stomach.
Friends, Bromo Seltzer has been giving three-way relief for more than 50 years. And today, it's more popular than ever. You'll know why the very first time you try Bromo Seltzer.
You can take Bromo Seltzer while it's still fizzing or after it settles down. Use it only as directed on the label. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But when it's a common sick headache that has you feeling so miserable you can't do your work or enjoy your fun, remember what our Vox Pop train says.
Fight the headache three ways.
Back more with our Lowry and Buck the Field folks. If more women knew the very, very interesting things that our WACs are doing, and what a satisfaction that they'll get out of serving that country, there'd be a waiting list that they couldn't handle at all recruiting stations. Now, here's an example. Our WAC tonight was born in Moscow, Russia. She was educated at Kiev Institute of Technology, and she's now finishing up at the photographic school here at Lowry Field. Folks, from Tucson, Arizona, a charming, black-haired, very human WAC, Private Nina Timchenko. Have they given you a nickname here, Private Timchenko?
Well, yes, I would rather promote it. They call me General Timmy.
General Timmy. Well, when they give you a nickname, you know that you're in over here. But, by the way, should I address you as Private Timchenko, Ms. Timchenko, or Timmy?
Private.
That's the military stuff. That's like a whack. How long have you been in the United States?
Oh, about almost 18 years now.
18. Any children?
Yes, I have a son.
Fine. Who is he? Where is he?
He's George. He's 15 years of age, and he's right now in Tucson. And
he's
I hope fine. He's listening.
I hope he is, too. I'm told that you're from a military family.
Yes. My father was a colonel in the Russian army, and my late husband, captain in cavalry.
You've seen real war, haven't you, Private Timchenko?
Yes, I did.
Where?
Well, in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I went
and after that?
Yes. I saw the revolution and all that come of it, and then I was driving ambulance in France.
For what? For Americans?
No, that's for French.
Uh-huh.
And said you drove an American ambulance somewhere.
Later on, I was working with Ann Morgan Committee, the sister of J.P. Morgan.
Here is our alarm clock with a $10 bill on it. It's yours.
Mine?
Yes. Because you were around here.
Mosaic.
Mosaic?
Said the fellow sometimes brings their blue stones of different colors. I'll develop them and put those three.
Bring back. Heidi, where are you going and what are you going to
do? I don't know. That's military secret. Hear me here on the mountaintop.
I hope they won't.
No, few languages. And you're to send it there and give me if I'm responsible. Maybe.
I hope you get it because you're too busy.
Thank you.
You know, you asked the most interesting I know. Do you need any more?
Would
you recommend me take a look at it?
This is going to be another job.
Now, Private Denchenko, I bring you three-dimensional pictures. It could be...
Oh, all right.
Say that we do appreciate it when the women of this country know that you need them. I know the importance of the work you're doing. This picture business, this photographic stuff is very important. Romo Seltzer wants you to have a couple of things. First of all, we've got a portable battery and plug-in RCA radio. You think you can use it?
Well, I think so.
And then we've got one of those marvelous Mido watches, you know, non-magnetic, that winds itself and all that.
White.
And it's got a luminous dial so that you can use it in the dark room.
Oh,
that's
then I'm absolutely ready to go over to
you
right there.
You bet. Now, one thing, in case they do ship you to a mountaintop and it's cold up there, we've got something that'll keep you warm. It's a beautiful suit of those red things. Thank you very much, Private Jim. Thank you.
Folks, here's a student in photography at Lowry Field, 24 years old. He's not a very big guy, but he's been in the Army Air Force for 2 years, 1 year of it in Africa. Home for him is Albany, New York. Technical Sergeant Milton Rosenberg. Say, what do the boys call you, Milt?
They call me Rosie. I try to be Rosie all the time.
Rosie, all right. Rosie, you're pint size. How did they take you?
Well, I'm a persistent cuss. I was a bit underweight, but as soon as Pearl Harbor came around, I weighed 104. I ate and I ate and I ate, and I got into December the 27th, 1941.
At what?
105.
105. we wonder where you were last Christmas, Rosie.
I was in Oran, North Africa.
Did you have a good time?
Well, not too good. The ship that brought us our turkey, or should have brought us our turkey, sunk, and we had Spam, hardtack, and pineapple juice, and of course, we had no use of mistletoe.
Oh, why? Did you feel pretty low that day?
Sure I did. No mistletoe, you know.
No mistletoe? Well, did you make up for it this Christmas?
You don't need mistletoe in Denver.
I'll take your word for it, Rosie. How did you like North Africa?
Well, it was mud to the left of me, mud to the right of me, and mud all over me and under me. And walk along, you know, in these puddles, and all of a sudden you step into a foxhole. And at my size, that's not good.
Well, about this photographic work of yours, what are you learning?
Well, I'm learning to be a laboratory technician. We learn to use cameras, take pictures, develop, and print.
You do the whole job then, right from start to finish?
That's right.
I see. How is your darkroom technique?
Well, it's improving.
Maybe it's developing. Come on, boys. Skip it. Where will you go when you finish, Rosie?
Well, I sure hope I get into a combat outfit and get over there into aerial photography.
Well, you think that job will be important?
Sure it is. Aerial photography, as you know, saves lives.
How?
Well, we take the pictures, bring them back, and the boys are going on the raid. The boys are going to land. They see where they're going, and they see what they're going to get, and what they're going to give the boys that are on the other side.
I see. Say, Rosie, we understand that you've written a book about your experiences.
Yes, it's called Rosie Goes to Africa. It's semi-comical, semi-philosophical.
It's about your experience.
A bit. And I've tried to give the average GI's impression of North Africa.
Well, I'll tell you, our G2 told us about that. We knew about it. And we know that it's not published yet, so we thought we'd give you a little help. We've arranged with Mr. Charles Skelly of the Macmillan Company in New York, you know, the famous publisher, to give your manuscript a really special reading. We hope you make the Book of the Month Club. And Bromo Seltzer wants you to have this imported still camera and tripod. That'll help you out on your days off. And the boys tell us that you're quite a musician, too, and that you're mourning the loss of your favorite cello. So to make you really mellow, here's a cello. It's a very fine tone instrument. Good luck to you, Technical Sergeant Milton Roosevelt. Oh, hear that. Hear that.
All right, folks. And now, folks, we want you to hear a very interesting letter from one of our Vox Poppers. She is Mrs. Pauline B. Sutherland of New York City, and she writes,
I'm secretary to a statistician, so I work with figures all day, setting up tables and typing statistical reports. I like my job, but it can become very nerve-wracking, so sometimes, if I haven't been feeling just up to par, I get one of those common sick headaches that can play havoc with anybody.
Yes, indeed.
Now, I can't afford to stay home because of occasional common sick headaches, so I rely on Bromo Seltzer to bring me quick, effective relief. I always make sure I have a supply in my desk drawer, as well as in my medicine chest at home. Bromo Seltzer is a real boon these days when we're all working harder, whether at home, in an office, or on a war plant. It's so easy and pleasant to take. Nearly everyone in my office uses it for an occasional headache. I wish I could get everyone listening in to try Bromo Seltzer. They'd soon agree there's just nothing better for quick, effective relief from common sick headaches.
We're with you there, Mrs. Sutherland. So, folks, the very next time you get a common sick headache, won't you try our Bromo Seltzer? Then write and tell us about your experience. Parks and I would really like to hear from you. Isn't that so, Parks?
You bet it is, Warren. Folks, you know, the Army Air Force's Training Command trains the best airmen in the world in many vital and interesting jobs. One group is taught to handle airplanes that fly through Arctic cold, and here's a man who knows what to do with an airplane in 60 below zero weather, as well as some other little things. Folks, former curator of the French Fort Museum at Syracuse, New York, 41-year-old Corporal William J. Gallipo. Corporal, tell me, what's your family status?
Well, do you mean whether I'm married or not?
Yeah.
Frankly, one war at a time, sir.
You're not married, I take it,
no,
huh?
Sir.
So tell me, what was your work back there at the museum?
Well, it was more or less on historical research work and Indian digging graves and all that sort of thing. Trying to connect in the old civilization with the new.
I see. Now, out here at Buckley Field, what did you start you off doing?
Well, I started off originally as an instructor in armament and then transferred over to this Arctic Division. And the work we were doing at the field consisted mostly of putting instruments in ice boxes. Anywhere
ice boxes.
From 50 to 60 below ice boxes. Yes.
Ooh, that's cold. 50 to 60 below.
Yes, sir.
And what else?
The idea was to find out the malfunctions which might occur in these instruments and how tires and various other things such as oil would react to Arctic temperatures. And then the man would go ahead and, knowing what the malfunctions which might occur and that temperature, could
know how to prevent them.
Much easier.
I see. And what are you doing now?
Oh, well, I've transferred now. I'm up in the mountains.
Mountains?
Way up in them mountains, yep.
Tell me about it.
Well, our mounds are at, that is our camp, is at Echo Lake.
Yeah.
There are a number of instructors up there, and we take these men, eight to a group. Go from Echo Lake over the mountains 2.5 miles to our own individual camps.
Yeah.
And there we teach these men how to live in the event that they were forced down in a crash landing.
Like
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you teach them, among other things?
Well, we teach them, for instance, how to prevent frostbite, snow blindness, how to live on mountain rations.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to live on them, you exist.
Yes. And
also hygiene, sanitation, hunting, types of animals that they can hunt up there, caribou.
And they tell me you don't use compasses.
No, we never use a compass, sir. We found that the best way of getting out from a forced landing is to follow down the stream.
I see, because folks will live on that.
Yes.
Say, Corporal, when the men are finished, your men are finished up there with that, they shouldn't have anything to do if the other fellows in the mechanical end of it have done their job. Is that right?
That's right.
Say, Corporal, is there anything that you wanted for Christmas you didn't get?
Well, there was just one thing I'd like to have gotten.
That?
It's a book that's out of print. It's known, The Conquest of Mount McKinley by Belmore Brown, which is a wonderful book on Arctic Research.
I hope if any of our listeners has got that and don't want it, the Conquest of Mount McKinley by Belmo Brown, they'll let you know or let us know. And Corporal Bromo Seltzer's got something for you. It's another book by a friend of yours, a man you've worked with, I'm sure. The Friendly Arctic by Dr. Stepherson. Second, a bang-up Corona portable typewriter, which we know you can use. And to add to your collection, we know that you're a very rabid war bond buyer. We have your war bond. And to keep you warm up there 2 miles high at Echo, a little hot water bottle, 4 by 6 inches. Just put it on 1 foot of that. Now, wait a minute. If that's too little for you, here's a book of tickets to a fine Turkish bath here in Denver when you come home. Thank you very much, Corporal. Okay, Warren, you're next.
Folks, you'll remember Bobby Stitt if you heard him last week. If not, he's 9 years old, a recruit in the Highlander Boys here in Denver, and he loves the military drill. Also, he loves to swim, but he can't swim on top of the water very well. He swims under. Bobby Stitt. Say, Bobby, you've heard these soldiers tell about their battles and their jobs. What do you think about it?
Well, I can't hardly wait until I grow up and old enough to get into service.
Good boy, Bobby. Which would you rather be, a gunner or a photographer or a pilot?
Well, all I want to be is a sergeant.
Well, Bobby, you said last week you had been working in the paper drive and gathered 60 pounds of paper. Now that you have that Bromo Seltzer wagon, have you collected any more paper?
Well, no. We've been so busy after Christmas and before Christmas and on Christmas Day.
Well, we know that you'll get busy right away this next week, won't you?
Yeah.
And all of us have to remember that paper packs a war punch. Say, and speaking of punches, Bobby, last week you said that you were a pretty good fighter. Well, we thought of something that you might like to help keep you in practice. And here it is, a pair of boxing gloves.
Put it on, Dave.
Put it on there, boy. Say, do you want to step a fast round with me, Bobby? Huh?
Boy, you hit Warren.
All right, Bobby. Thank you very much, and good luck to you.
Big soldiers, little soldiers. It sure was nice having one of the Highlander Boys on the air again with us. And by the way, Dr. Dave Bayless, the director of the Highlander Boys, tells me that as a result of our last week's broadcast, he's had hundreds of telegrams and inquiries from all over the country asking how to start organizations such as the Highlander Boys.
And it's been swell being here at Lowry Field, too, with the members of the Army Air Forces Training Command.
It sure has, but we've got to be on our way to Minneapolis, Minnesota, to talk with the folks of the Northern Pump Company.
It's the largest naval ordnance plant in the country, where they make those big seagoing anti-aircraft guns and all kinds of equipment for sea battles.
Folks, Vox Pop is your broadcast, and we want to know what you like about it. Won't you mail us a postcard or a note and tell us the 3 interviews that stand out in your mind during the past couple of years or so? If you don't recall a name, that's all right. Just tell us something about the person that was interviewed, and we'll spot it. Tell us the 3 interviews that you have liked best on Vox Pop in the last 2 or 3 years. Mail your letter or postcard to Vox Pop, CBS, New York. We sure will appreciate it. And good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
The appearance of Army Air Force personnel on this broadcast does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our product, as their regulations do not permit the endorsement of any kind.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when it visits Minneapolis, Minnesota. Meantime, whenever you get a common sick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do as our Vox Pop train says and fight headache 3 ways with Bromo Seltzer. Get it?
Fight headache 3 ways!
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.